The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
Pre-show? What was the pre-show?
So everything you saw before that was pre the show, which makes a pre-show.
This is Kevin Conroy, and I am the goddamn Batman.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic reading crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, IDW, Boom Studios, Xenoscope, and more, we have everything you want to read right here. Transformers comics? Yeah, we cover that. He-Man? Yeah, sure. DC superheroes like Batman, Batgirl, Nightwing, and Batman Beyond? Yep, we have those too. How about TMNT from IDW and I Hate Fairyland from Image Comics? Yeah, we have all that here. Plus, so much more. It's all inside the pullback here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So without any further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we are reading right now here inside the pullback.
Hello and welcome to The Pullbag. This is episode 360.5. That's right, a 0.5 episode. I'm, of course, your host, TFG on Mike. And today I have, well, we have the first Pullbag Origins episode since Jesse Raz was on the show in 2016. It was March of 2016. So basically, holy shnikes, it's been 3 years and 4 months since we did an Origins episode. On top of that, my guest today, well, I've been begging him for the entirety of this podcast's lifespan to be on this show. That's 6 years of groveling, persistent emails, thousands of hints on social media, and who the hell knows how many voicemails. No, not really. You may have heard his voice before. On the GCRN's sister network up there in Canada, eh? That's right. From This Week in Geeks, the Untitled Mike and Lara Project, it's Mike Laidman! Holy shit!
What? How did you get that guy?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I've put all this work into it and everything else.
I heard he's very reclusive and doesn't do many podcasts these days.
I heard he's got 43 podcasts of something called Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads.
That's true. That is true. I definitely do have that.
Yes. So Mike Laidman is back, folks, and welcome both to the GCRN and Twig listeners. It's been at least 2 years since you and Laura did your little special thing for 10th anniversary of Twig, because the 10th anniversary was 2017.
That's right.
And it's been even longer than that since the Mike and Laura Project, episode 112, I think, was 20.
I know, we ended on such a random number.
Like, you gotta come back and do 113. Like, if it has to end, end on 113.
You know what? I mean, the reason the show ended and just kind of, you know, didn't continue on and we never had another episode is just one day Laura just decided that she was done. And it's not, you know, she's not like, I hate everybody and I hate podcasting and blah, 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 blah. She just, we were busy and it was finding the time to do it was just not as easy. And she's like, I don't know what we have anything else to say. So she just kind of, she was done. And then with that, I was just kind of like, well, I really liked doing that podcast. So I just kind of fell into this, like, I don't want a podcast with anybody kind of like mood for a very long time. And then, I mean, there was that one point when we did the 10th anniversary thing, which was just a, you know, a quick one off.
Little one thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And we actually there was a point when Laura was doing Twitch for a little bit. She did Twitch for about a minute. And we actually almost revived it then. If you go back to the Untitled Mike and Laura Project Twitter, because it's still up, there is like a tease of us reviving the show on Twitch. It's literally just the logo, but it says Twitch on it. and then we never did anything with it. Like it was that logo and then nothing ever again. And basically what happened was we were talking about doing it, and I did some planning, and I was like, well, if we're going to do it on Twitch, we're going to have like graphics and stuff. And I was looking into like putting together graphics packages and all that fun stuff. And then all of a sudden Laura was like, no, I'm done with Twitch. And it was like, oh, okay, well, I guess there goes that again. So that was the end of the comeback. We had the single tweet that teased we might be coming back, and then we never came back. And that was kind of the end for a very long time. And a friend of mine, who I have been doing the Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads podcast with, his name's Chris Blonsky. He and I have known each other for years. We went to high school together. We actually did a radio show together in college called the Weekly Draw. It was named after the comic that I did for the school paper. And we talked about comics, movies, and video games. And he was like, man, I really liked doing that show with you. And I mean, now that we have kids, we got kids stuff to talk about. And at the same time, because we got kids, we're going to be busy as hell. And I want an excuse to keep hanging out with you. So we put this aside about an hour a week for us to get together, catch up on each other's lives, and talk about whatever the nerdy news of the day is. And sometimes it's comics, and actually very rarely it's comics, because I'm the comic guy on the show and he's one of those fans. We actually addressed this on the most recent episode. He is a comics adjacent fan in the sense of, like, I like Batman and I like Spider-Man, but you like Batman in the sense that you like watching the movies and you like watching the cartoons, but like though you would not be caught dead with a comic in your hands. That's the kind of comic fan he is. But we talk about video games on the show. We talk about a lot of tech stuff. He's a lot more like into the gadgets and things. So anytime there's any sort of like Macworld conference or something like that, we talk about that kind of stuff. I'm big on video games still. So we talk about video games. A big theme throughout the show is that now that we have kids, we don't have the time to play video games, which is quite true. I have quite the backlog that is amassed, and I've actually stopped buying games because my backlog is getting so unsustainable. but we talk about that kind of thing. It's funny, like, because a perfect example is, I don't know if you're familiar with the game Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
I'm familiar with the Assassin's Creed franchise because I've heard you and a bunch of other people talk about it, but I've never actually seen that specific game.
Well, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is the most recent Assassin's Creed game. I bought it on Boxing Day. And it took me 3 weeks to beat the tutorial.
Wow.
Yes, the tutorial. Because I had so little time to actually play a game. I'd pick up, play for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I mean, newborns are a lot of work. they do eventually stop becoming as much work. Like, yeah, we actually pre-recorded our first 4 or 5 episodes. And it was funny because we were going to release them and just kind of have a buffer, because when we started recording the podcast, we recorded a few episodes before we had the kids. And then it was going to be like, that way we have this buffer built up where we can talk, like, we can just release episodes when the kids are born. And then that way, you know, we can still, you know, not miss a week kind of a thing. And funnily enough, is both of our kids were born in the same week. They were supposed to be born months apart, but they were born in the same week, and we blew through all of our backup episodes at once. So we just didn't record anything for a month, and then all of our backup episodes all rolled out, and then we just started doing them on a weekly basis. So
that's hilarious. Yeah, I would think that, you know, you say that Laura felt that there was nothing else to say. I'm still waiting on the history podcast.
Plus now
that you guys have a kid, you can talk about, like, I know you're doing the dad thing on the show with Chris, but like, you guys could talk about what it's like to be parents. Like, the way I've always viewed Mike and Laura was that the show basically mirrored what was going on in your lives. It's basically each episode is a snapshot of what's going on that week or that month or at that time in your lives. You know, if she's not interested, she's not interested. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So comics. First of all, Mike does his own, or he used to do his own comic, MikeStupidComics.com.
Yeah, that's another thing that's changed in the years since you've been trying to get me to do this show. I actually stopped doing the comics.
I know.
Which was one of the reasons you wanted me on the show.
Exactly. But basically, give everybody a quick rundown of what Mike's Stupid Comics was.
So Mike's Stupid Comics was the reason the name is dumb, it's that dumb, is because it was originally a place to hold my comics that I did in high school. I did a whole bunch of comics that were just about like the guys that I was sitting with at my table at lunch. And it was just stupid comics. And when I graduated from high school, people were like, man, I really like those comics. I hope you like put them somewhere so that I can still read them. So originally, Mike's Stupid Comics was a GeoCities website that hosted a bunch of comics I'd used to draw in my lunch hours in high school. And eventually, I started doing a comic on the site. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of because at that point, a friend of mine was like, oh, you have a webcomic. And I'm like, well, yeah, I put comics on the internet. And he's like, no, you have a webcomic. And I'm like, what the hell is a webcomic? And he explained to me that there was this universe of comics online, like, you know, Penny Arcade and Mac Hall and Mega Tokyo, all of these, you know, famous in web comics. And I looked at them all and I'm like, oh, actually, this is a thing. So I started doing my own web comic as well on the site. And of course, because the only people who were currently reading the comic on the site were the people who were in the comic, because I was you know, the comics were about them, right? Yeah. They were like, well, keep doing the comics about us. So the comic is all about, like, me and my friends. And then it got to a point where I'm like, well, I want to tell my own stories. But, you know, like, all of my characters are my friends. And they're like, well, you can tell your own story, but keep the comic about us, right? So all of it, and that's the thing. Like, I was reading all these web comics, like the ones that I named, Mac Hall, Penny Arcade, Mega Tokyo. Mm-hmm. All of the main characters of those comics were the writers and the artists of those comics. Mm. And I thought that's what web comics were. Mm. Like, I thought that all web comics were autobiographical comics. Mm. And so I'm like, okay, well, in that case, I guess this has to be autobiographical too. So I made the comic about me. And even though, like, at the time I had, you know, no idea, there were other comics out there that had nothing to do with the, you know, the people who were actually writing and drawing them. They were actually, you know, original characters, original stories. So I got into the point where I'm like, okay, well, I want to tell an original story, but I'll use the characters that already exist because people are already reading it. I was like 50 comics in at that point. Mm. And then I added a storyline, and that's why when you actually read the comic that, like, the villain of the story doesn't appear until like halfway through, like the second chapter, because again, it was not originally planned to be a long form story comic. It was originally like a small, you know, 4-panel joke of the day kind of comic at first. And then eventually when I decided I wanted to tell stories in it, I actually completely changed the art style. There's actually a comic in the story where the art style changes and like everybody acknowledges the style changing, where they're like, whoa, what just happened, kind of a thing. And then from that point on, it's in the new style, and then it continues onwards, and it becomes this whole thing about like evil billionaires and like trying to find this girl that he doesn't know the name of. That was the other thing that I thought was really funny is because that was another thing that I read in all of these stupid web comics was they all were about romance. All of the main characters were after somebody, like the Mega Tokyo, definitely. Another comic that a friend of mine, I met him in college, he was writing a comic and he had a love interest that was not a real person as well. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess I need a love interest who's not a real person. So I incorporated that into the comic as well. The character of Hannah is not based on a real person, and she is the main character who is me. She is his love interest. And it was really funny because actually I was dating Laura when I was working on the comic. And what happened was, it was really funny, the timing, how it worked out, is Laura and I were friends, obviously, before we were dating. Mm-hmm. And she found out that I drew this comic. And she's like, can you put me in your comic? Because everybody else was in this comic. She knew all my friends were in it.
Right.
So I was like, I can definitely put you in the comic. And I thought about it. And there was this one scene where there was this one-off character who was supposed to show up, and they were only there to just be there for a second, and then they were gone from the story forever. and they were just there to do this one scene. And I'm like, that's a perfect spot. I'll just throw her in. She'll be there as a cameo, and she'll see it, and she'll laugh, and she'll show her friends, and I'll see it, and that'll be it. Well, I decided to put her into this role before we were dating, and literally the week we started dating was the week that the comic with her in it went up. So I remember when it happened is my friends started messaging me being like, so you're just going to put every girl you like in a comic? Like, because it was really funny, because it was just timing wise it worked out that way, is we didn't actually start. We started dating the week that she appeared in my comic. Wow. So it was just really funny how that worked out. And everybody, and of course, at the in the moment, in the scene, that character was there to do one thing very important and then bow out and never be seen in the story again. So not only does she show up, but she suddenly becomes the most important character in the comic for like two pages. And then again, she's gone. But the thing is people reading this are reading this one page a week and don't know this. So they see me introduce this girl who is my new girlfriend. And then she becomes like the super best character of the comic. And everyone's like, oh, my God, Mike, come on. Like, what are you doing? And then it turned out like, OK, no, she's done. She's not in the story again. And she never does. She never does reappear. But it was just really funny how that worked out. And also it was really funny, too, because now I'm actually dating somebody and I'm writing a comic about me dating this imaginary person. And it was like, this is really weird. But yeah, so that comic eventually did end, because it was kind of like I was sort of done telling stories in that world. I wanted to tell stories that had my own characters in them, and not, you know, I have to make this person act like this person because it's really my friend Chris, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
So I wanted to do that. And I do have ideas for comics that I have talked about, I think, before publicly. But I, for whatever reason, it's the same reason I'm not podcasting all the time. And the same reason I don't play as many video games as I used to do, as it's because I just don't have time.
Yeah,
but you know, every so often,
work and life and,
exactly,
and kids and marriage, and there's just no time, and you have to decide what you're going to work on or what you're going to do for yourself or for whatever, you know.
Yeah,
and you just gotta, it's time management. Like,
yep. So go ahead.
I've said that, you know, all of June of this year for the pull bag, it was all kind of sort of pre-recorded. There were delays, there was this, there was that. I backdated a few posts because, you know, by the time I was pre-recording something that should have been released in June, it was like the middle of July and whatever. And it's like, you know, and I have a cat. Like, it's not like I have, you know, kids or whatever. I mean, my wife and I, you know, Karen and I, we do all kinds of crazy stuff and whatever. But it's like, right now we're in the middle, like I've said in other shows, we're in the middle of trying to sell our house, potentially move. You know, it's like, when life takes over, I've said this since day one of podcasting, life comes before podcasting. And if life is happening to you, you have to focus on that. But at the same time, you still need some sort of outlet to deal with it. And that, honestly, podcasting is my outlet for dealing with it, whether I'm talking about, you know, Optimus Prime and Megatron or Batman versus Iron Man or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, has to come in there somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. Getting to the questions.
Yes.
Did you grow up reading comics? At what age did you remember first reading a comic or noticing comic books?
I can tell you the first comic I ever read, because it was an important comic. So basically, you and I actually were talking before the show about the speculator market. When, you know, there's a newsworthy thing that comes up, like, for example, the death of Superman, where people who don't read comics, the normies, come out of the woodwork to buy all the comics.
Yes.
Well, that happened to my parents, and they bought me the very first Tim Drake Robin issue, which was, I believe, Batman 436, something like that. Mm. So back in like 1989. So it's not the first issue that has Tim Drake in it, but it's the first issue he dresses as Robin.
Right.
And my parents bought it and they were like, yeah, this is supposed to be worth money. And then they gave it to a child who then destroyed it
because
he read it over and over and over again.
Yep.
So that was literally the first comic book I ever read. And I can't recall if I actually knew anything about comics before that. I don't remember if I remember Superman or Batman. I remember Batman. Like, obviously, I had that Batman comic. And I remember Batman being a thing that my life kind of revolved around. Once I really started to get into comics, it kind of came from this babysitter. My parents, they sent us to this babysitter, my brother and I. And looking back at that babysitter, he was also kind of like, not him, but the babysitter, her husband, was kind of like a weird dude that who on one hand got me into comics and wrestling, but at the other hand, I probably shouldn't have been talking to that dude because I'm fairly certain he had a room full of Nazi paraphernalia at his house.
Oh no.
But that's neither here nor there. I trust me, I didn't go in that room and I don't partake in that kind of stuff. But he introduced me to comics, and I remember trading cards. He had a big box of trading cards, and he was collecting like the entire set, like the entire run of trading cards. And he had so many doubles, and he's like, "Here, you can have my doubles." And it was the Marvel Series 2.
Oh yeah.
And I still have them. I still have a wallet full of like one of those old card binders full of the old cards. And he gave me all of his doubles. And that's where I first found out about the X-Men and where I first found out about Spider-Man and Captain America and all of the Marvel characters. And I remember really liking Wolverine because his mask looked like Batman's mask. And I was like, yeah, he looks like Batman. And that was like really my first introduction to all of the Marvel heroes. Which is really funny because now I'm like all about Marvel, and outside of Batman, I couldn't care less about DC as it stands. But my first trip ever to a comic shop was through this guy. He went to, funnily enough, as we were talking about, the Death of Superman. He was on his way to a comic shop to buy the Death of Superman books. And I ended up buying Shadow of the Bat number one, which, I mean, Shadow of the Bat stopped running a long time ago, but that was another book that was like, oh, this book is going to be worth money. Well, let's give it to this child and watch him destroy it because he reads it over and over and over again. And that was really like, those were my first two comics. And I remember buying for myself, the first comic I ever bought myself was X-Men number 8. And this was Jim Lee after they did the relaunch. Like, it wasn't Chris Claremont because he was gone. And it was whoever took over afterwards. And it was this comic where Wolverine and Ghost Rider and the rest of the X-Men are fighting the Brood in New Orleans. Oh, wow. And I remember that comic because the art captured my imagination. And the other thing, too, was that it was the first time I'd ever seen Wolverine in his blue costume. Like everything I'd seen up to that point with like all the trading cards and stuff was Wolverine in the brown costume. Yep. And blue was my favorite color. So when I saw him in the blue costume, I'm like, what is this? This is amazing. I love this. Mm-hmm. And then not too long after that, that was when the Batman animated series came out and then X-Men, the cartoon. And it was really funny because I remember so many people talking to me about like, because I would talk at length about X-Men because I had these trading cards and nobody knew what I was talking about. None of the kids I went to school with knew X-Men until that cartoon came out. And I'd never heard about it until one day when a guy was like, hey, that guy that you were talking about with the claws, he's on this show that I watch on Fox. And I'm like, I didn't get Fox at the time. I had like the basic over the air TV, and I got, I got Global in Canada, which had Batman, the animated series, but none of the main networks in Canada had X-Men. You could only get Fox if you had a decent enough cable or signal to pick up Fox. And I did not. So he's like, yeah, there's an X-Men cartoon on Fox. And I kind of like, I need to watch this whenever I can. And my grandparents had Fox. So every time it was like, hey, do you want to sleep over at your grandma's tonight? I was like, yes, because I can watch X-Men tomorrow morning. So I was watching X-Men and Batman, the animated series, whenever I could. And I also really got into the X-Men toys. Like, even though the X-Men cartoon was not around in Canada, we still had, or at least like, if you didn't have access to Fox, they still had the X-Men like toys, the action figures, the old Toy Biz figures. And I was collecting those, and I found out about Wizard Magazine because somebody told me like, oh yeah, they talk about when the new toys are coming out in Wizard Magazine. So I got that because I wanted to know when the new X-Men toys were coming out. Right. And as I read through Wizard Magazine, I just kept buying Wizard Magazine after Wizard Magazine. And it you know, there's all these stories in there about comics. So I learned a lot about comics without ever having read the comics. Like, I knew about Dark Knight Returns. I knew about Watchmen years before I ever read them. Same with, like, Squadron Supreme. These were all books that I knew about and major story arcs. I knew about Days of Future Past years before I ever read it. Things like that. And then eventually I remember there was an article in Wizard where they were talking about Ultimates, the Ultimate Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh yeah, it's this brand new world where you don't need to know, you don't need to know like the character's history. And I'm like, well, I know some of this history because of these trading cards. Like, it's funny, the characters that I gravitated towards because of these trading cards, Venom was a character that I knew a lot about because of these trading cards. So back in the day, I remember my brother had the Venom Lethal Protector number one. And I remember that I always wanted to get it from him so I could read it. And he's like, no, you can't read my Venoms. Like, they're going to be worth money. And he, like, you know, he had them bags and everything. And I'm like, please, I'll trade you my one Shadow of the Bat over and over again, you know, that kind of thing. And so I knew about, like, a lot of the Spider-Man characters. Obviously, the cartoon had been out by that point, and I'd been watching those characters in the cartoon. And when I first heard about the Ultimate Universe, I was like, oh, okay, this sounds like something that would be a great time to kind of get in. I know about Spider-Man. I've read random Spider-Man comics. You know, like, I would find a comic here or there at the grocery store. You know, like, my pre-comic shop days are so random and scattered and all over the place. Like, I have just random X-Men comics. I was reading the Eric Larson Wolverine run from the late 90s, early 2000s, where, like, where he became Death for Apocalypse. And then they did that alternate universe thing where they did a couple issues where it was the Fantastic Four, but with Wolverine in the Fantastic Four. Because remember, there was that one period of time where Wolverine, Ghost Rider, Spider-Man, and the Hulk were the Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Well, they did this story during this Eric Larson run where it was like an alternate universe and Wolverine was still part of the Fantastic Four. And they did this comic where it was like, oh yeah, they've been in the Fantastic Four for years. And they reference events that never happen. And I was like, this is fascinating. I want to see more comics in this universe. But eventually the Ultimate Spider-Man stuff came out, but I didn't know of any comic shops in my area. Comic shops to me were a very few and far between rare thing. And, at the time, the only place I could find stuff, like I said, was at grocery stores. And there was a store nearby where I used to hang out with some friends where they would sell these, I can't remember what they were called, but they were collections. And they were, I think they called them the Ultimate Comics magazines. Mm-hmm. And it was the first couple issues of Ultimate Spider-Man. So I found it, and at first I thought it was the first issue of Ultimate Spider-Man because it had the cover for it. But it was like issue 1, 2, and 3 in like a magazine-sized format. And then those issues just kept coming out, and I got a few of those. And then they introduced the Ultimate X-Men comics in those as well. So once I actually found I had the first 6 issues of both, I actually found out that there was a comic shop not too far from where I lived. And that's when I started going to comic shops. And because I was like, I need to keep reading these Ultimate X-Men and Ultimate Spider-Man books because I think they're great. And that's when I actually started doing comic shops for the first time. And then from there, it became, well, this needs to go in my pull bag and this needs to go in my pull bag and that kind of thing. And I didn't go too crazy at first. It was I mostly stuck to Ultimate Comics to the point where actually for in regards to the Ultimate Spider-Man, and Ultimate X-Men, I have almost entire runs of both books.
Cool.
I'm missing the ones that, like, you know, are worth the most. I'm missing like the first 6 issues of both runs. I have all those. And then as time went on, I just kept, you know, adding more and more books because I was still reading Wizard at that point. And you know, Wizard was saying, hey, this is a good book. And I'd pick it up. And sometimes I'd listen to the people at the comic shop. Same with Walking Dead. I have an almost entire run of Walking Dead. I'm missing the first 12 issues of Walking Dead. Of course, again, the ones that are worth money. But yeah, no. So I've been reading comics for years, and as I've said, I've mostly stick to Marvel, a lot of Marvel stuff. I do every so often pop into some of the big DC stuff. Like, I have gone back and I've read Watchmen. I've read Dark Knight Returns. I did read, what was the one after it? Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Yeah.
You know, when that came out, I remember reading All-Star Superman and All-Star Batman because those were big deals. One of those was a bigger deal than the other.
I did get
some of the other offshoot stuff, like some of the, I shouldn't say offshoot, but just non-DC, non-Marvel stuff. Mm-hmm. I was really big into Irredeemable. I don't know if you know Irredeemable at all. That was a Dynamite.
I think I've heard of it, but
I'm actually rereading it right now because of that Brightburn movie that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
So Brightburn is essentially Superman if Superman was a bad guy, kind of a thing, right?
Right, yeah.
So this Irredeemable is the story of Superman if Superman snapped from the pressure of being Superman and became a mass murderer. And it's phenomenal. And if I remember from the ending, I seem to remember I didn't like the ending because the ending is very weird. It gets very, like, metaphysical and like, oh, you're part of somebody's dream or some weird thing. Because
mm-hmm.
up until that point, it plays as like, oh, this is Superman when Superman goes nuts. And they take a lot of moments from Superman's past and they present them in a more realistic way in the sense of like perfect example is Superman is adopted by, you know, a kind Kansas couple. Right. And then they find out, oh, this baby has superpowers. Well, let's protect this baby and make sure that everything is, you know, perfect for him. And he learns how to do how to do everything nice and blah, 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 blah. In Irredeemable, they are afraid of him. So they give him away. They send him he bounces from foster home to foster home because everyone, the second he does anything superpowered, they freak out and they get rid of him because they like, I can't handle him. Like, and he does things that are, you know, to him, he's doing good. Like a perfect example is the one woman who adopts him has a husband that beats her and he stops the husband by like, you know, using laser vision on him, you know?
Yeah.
And because of that, the wife, because he's like, I love you, mommy. I want to protect you. And she's like, holy shit, my son is a monster. Oh my God. And it's like that Twilight Zone episode where everybody's like really nice to the kid, the superpowers, because he'll do things to them if, you know, they say something bad about him. And he's like, everything's great for him. Like, he's like, yay, I finally have a mommy who loves me. And she like shoots herself in the head because she can't stand to be, you know, she can't stand the pressure because she thinks she's going to say something that's going to set him off and he's going to, you know, laser eye her and stuff. And another great example of like things that would happen a little more realistically is there's a Lois Lane analog as well in the story. And he has a Clark Kent alias that he uses as well. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm the because the Superman character, his name is the Plutonian.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, she becomes the Plutonian's girlfriend, just like Lois Lane. And he eventually takes her aside as his alias. And I want you to know I love you and I want to marry you. And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm the Plutonian's girlfriend. You need to back off. And he's like, here's the great thing. I'm the Plutonian all along. And she's like, what? You've been lying to me? I hate you. You know, so it's, you know, like you've been lying to me for all these years kind of thing. And he's like, wait, what? No. You know, like that kind of thing happens to him. And and then in the end, what actually drives him crazy is somebody bitches at him for being like, hey, you know, why weren't you here 5 minutes sooner? My boat got dinged or something like that, right? and he freaks out. He's like, can't I have 5 minutes of peace? He flies out into space and he's just quiet. You know, he can't hear everybody asking for help for like 10 minutes. And then he comes back and it turns out this insane disaster happened while he was gone. And because he was gone, it got way worse than it could have been had he been there to prevent it. And it also turns out that it was his fault that it happened because there was like some guy who was super critical of him that was like, that guy's like, he's got like a God complex. He shouldn't be around. And he keeps like, when aliens invade us and he stops them, he doesn't give us any of the alien tech. Like we're like schmucks that, you know, we're monkeys that are going to shoot ourselves in the face with a gun. And then, so he gives this guy a thing and he's like, look, you know, try it. And from what I understand, this piece of technology is not bad. and it'll be fine. And then that thing turns out to be like a mass weapon and kills like a ton of people. And then they find out, like somebody finds out that it was his fault. And that's what makes him go off the deep end. And he basically goes to Metropolis and levels it. And like, it's really good. It's a really good book. And there's like 12 volumes of it. I highly recommend it. Like I said, from what I can recall, I'm rereading it right now and I'm still enjoying it. But I remember the ending when it ended and I read the last page. I was like, huh. Just kind of like, all right, that's how that ends. Like, I get where they were going with it, but I wasn't at the time. I don't remember being the biggest fan of the ending, but maybe some time and perspective will have changed some things and I'll like it a lot better this time.
There you go. All right, so we've answered whether you're Marvel or DC, which is your favorite and why. you mentioned Dynamite and Irredeemable. What other publishers do you like, or what other stuff from other publishers are you reading currently?
Currently, I am reading nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And it's just because of the timing. Yeah. And this is actually what kind of got us talking and back again in the first place, is this is the first time I've been reading nothing. And it's because that my wife, Laura, we met at a comic shop. And part of the main reason, the comic shop that I was buying Ultimate Spider-Man, she didn't work there at the time, but eventually she did. And when she worked there, while we were dating, she managed to convince her boss to give me her store discount. Mm-hmm. And I was buying everything when I had the store discount. Well, once she stopped working there, I could no longer afford it. And I cut my box back to just two books, the two ongoing books that I was reading, because Irredeemable I was actually reading in trades. So I was just buying the trades as they came out. And yeah, there's a few other books that I've been reading, like Saga, which, of course, is also now on hiatus. So, you know, I'm not reading that because it's on hiatus. But I was reading the two books that I was reading that I kept reading. Because I was reading Spider-Man and I was reading X-Men. And I remember at the time being like, okay, this is good, but it's not the greatest. But at the same time, it was like, yeah, but I'm getting it at a huge discount, so it's worth it, you know? But once I wasn't getting the discount anymore, it was like, okay, this kind of isn't worth it. And I need to be a lot more choosy because we're like looking at getting married and buying a house and things like that. So I cut my books down to only Invincible and The Walking Dead. Both Image Comics, both written by Robert Kirkman. And in the ensuing time, both of those books have ended. And currently, I have no books in the queue. I, like I said, I still pull the occasional book like Saga or Life is Strange. Life is Strange, which is based on a video game. That is something else that I'm reading. And I've been reading the Dark Horse Legend of Korra books. But those are all either graphic novel form or trades. Right. So I'm no longer pulling individual books anymore. So,
okay, I can give you one big suggestion.
Okay.
IDW's TMNT series, the main ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
You start with that. Start at the beginning. Start with volume one. And I'm telling you, if you were ever a Turtles fan at all from anything, from the 87 cartoon, from the films, from the 2003, from the original comics that Eastman and Laird did, what IDW is doing with the Turtles is amazing.
Is that the one? I feel like I followed a little bit. Like I heard about something that happened and then I went back and I like kind of looked through the storyline to see what happened. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, for anyone, I mean, I guess, I don't know. Do you want me to say things that are possibly spoilers?
Sure.
Didn't like Raphael like lose an eye and like Donatello die and stuff like that? Is it that series okay. or is this a different one?
I don't know if Raph lost an eye because I'm a little behind myself. I am up to issue 80 of the series.
Oh, okay. Well, this would have been a long time ago.
Okay. Then Donatello did die in the IDW series, but he was brought back.
Okay.
He died at issue 44. They brought him back in issue 50. This is the one that's written by Tom Waltz, Kevin Eastman, Bobby Kernow. Bobby Kernow is also the editor. Art style varies from, like, they get all kinds of, like, Dan Schoening. The list is endless. We've covered every single thing that IDW has done with the Turtles for 5 years now on this podcast. So not only is there comics you can read, you can listen to reviews of it if you so choose.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, so IDW, start at the beginning, start at volume one. I'll send you the link on Comixology later. I'm sure you can go find a physical copy. Since you've answered some of these questions, I'll ask you now. Print or digital? Like, we now live in the digital age where Comixology is kind of the biggest one. I mean, I know Amazon and Comixology kind of coexist, but, you know, and Marvel and DC have their own apps and services and whatever, but when you're reading a comic, do you need to feel the actual comic, or are you okay looking at a computer screen or whatever?
It's hard to say, because I've done both. Mm-hmm. I feel like in the sense of, so after I stopped buying so many comics, and I was only mm-hmm. buying the two comics, those comics that I was buying became the quote-unquote important comics to me. And I was still reading comics through less legal means. And in those cases, I was reading on my Surface tablet, and I was reading them, you know, you just stand it up and read it there. And I had no real, there's no issue, reading mm-hmm. comics like that. But I don't know. I mean, it's kind of interchangeable for me. Like, I guess we're, like I said, there's a lot of stuff that's, if it's important to me, I want it. You know, I want to hold it in my hand. I want to put it on my shelf. Like, a perfect example is those Korra comics. The Korra show, I love that show. It's one of my favorite television shows of all time. So when they were actually, you know, producing a sequel to it in book form, I was like, well, I have to have it. So I, you know, those, that was important to me that I have those books, that I have them on my shelf, that I can look at them forever whenever I want to. But at the same time, I'm also a big fan of the Aliens franchise. Mm-hmm. And there is a ton of Dark Horse Aliens books. And actually, what I ended up doing recently is, I don't know if you've heard of the library service Hoopla. They have digital comics, and I've been reading old trades of Aliens comics in Hoopla, and I've been reading them on my phone or on my tablet. And in those cases, I mean, that's fine. That's something for me. It's like, okay, I just want to know the story. To me, it's a disposable medium in the sense of, like, I'm going to read this Alien comic, but I'm never going to want to read it again, you know? So right, it's kind of like, in that sense, it was a nice snackable moment of like, okay, I can eat this. Because I said snack, that's my problem. I can read this, and then it can go away, and I don't need to worry about it, kind of thing. Like those Korra comics, I'm going to read those over and over and over again over the years. So I think that's the difference for me right there. If it's something that's important to me, I want the physical version. I want it on my shelf. I want it to be able to show it to my friends, that kind of thing. If it's something that I'm just going to read once and be done with, then I don't mind being in digital.
Mm, absolutely. I remember when we started the show, when we started the Pullbag, I was...
Geico presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit Geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
You shouldn't go to Barnes & Noble and buy 10,000 books just so you can build a book fortress and yell out, "I am your book leader." You shouldn't buy 147 copies of War and Peace, stuff them inside turkeys, and serve them at Thanksgiving as turbookins. And you definitely shouldn't buy up all the copies of Dork Diaries, causing the neighborhood kids to stage a protest in your front yard. But you could. Because at the Barnes & Noble Book Haul, you can get over 1,000 titles for 50% off. Stock up at your local Barnes & Noble. Turbookins are fictitious and should not be cooked at home.
Going to the local comic shop in Louisville at the time, The Great Escape, and I was getting whatever I was reading at the time for the show or whatever, mostly Batman stuff, some Spider-Man, whatever. And then I eventually found Comixology, and I just kind of never looked back because I was tired of having boxes upon boxes of physical comics.
Right.
Because, again, it goes to what you just said. You're going to read it once and not... read, especially single issues. You're going to read the single issue once. Like, if you have, like, again, IDW, you look at their, like, IDW collections where they're all hardcover collecting whatever, you know, whether it's Transformers, Turtles, whatever it is, but they're hardbound, hardback collectible books that you can put on a bookshelf. You know, wasn't doing that. I was just doing single issues, issue by issue kind of thing. And I'm like, really don't. I like going to the comic shop and I like, you know, talking to them and whatever, but really don't care for physical comics anymore. And then it was the point where I ended up, I was reading for the show, and I've told this story a million times at this point. So for all you listeners who have heard it before, tune out for a minute. I was reading Welcome Back, Frank.
Right.
Reading The Punisher, Welcome Back, Frank. I'm holding it. I'm reading it. All of a sudden, my eyes droop. My left hand laxes. The book falls out of my hand as I'm sitting in the chair reading it. Wasn't because of the story of the book. It was because of holding. Like, the thing's 12 issues in a hardcover, hard, whatever, paperback, whatever it is, trade paperback. Like, my arm is getting tired. My face. Oh, crap. I need to just go put this down.
Right.
Just try to read it later or get it on comic. Yeah. As soon as that happened, I'm like, I just need to go digital. Less space, less this, less that.
Yep.
It's so much easier. And I read to enjoy them, but I also mainly, when I'm reading stuff, I read it to talk about it. Out of all the shows that GCRN does, this is the one that has been going, as I said earlier, the one I've kept up with the longest. It's the one that I don't feel like I'm running out of ideas, because there are so many comics over the last 80-something or more years. There's so many new comics and so many different things coming out. And just, you know, going towards franchises or characters or whatever. But that IDW TMNT series, that's something you might want to check out if you were ever a Turtles fan.
You know what? It's funny, because I talked about Hoopla and how I thought Hoopla was the greatest thing in the world. My local library actually changed service providers, so I don't have Hoopla anymore. And I'm actually, if I remember correctly, I had those Turtles comics in my pull list. They were in my watch list. So I was going to read those once I finished with all the Aliens comics that I was reading. But yeah, so there you go. The thought had crossed my mind, but I never got to it in time. So,
Who are some of your favorite comics writers, and why are they your favorites?
Well, I guess an imperfect start would be Robert Kirkman. As I said there, the two books that I was still reading when I dropped everything was Robert Kirkman, both books. Invincible is actually one of my favorite superhero stories of all time. I know I went on at length about Irredeemable. But that's what I'm currently reading, or at least currently rereading. But Invincible is fantastic. I don't know if you know Invincible at all. Invincible,
I've heard of it. I've seen it.
Invincible is essentially Superman if he was Spider-Man.
Okay.
So it's not Superboy, but it's Superman's power set, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But the lifestyle of Spider-Man. So it starts off with him being in high school and like talking to girls and stuff like that. And then, you know, from there he goes off into college and stuff, and like, and he tries to get a real job and things like that, but it all doesn't work out because he's trying to balance his life as Invincible and stuff. It's very, very much like Spider-Man, although it goes into very dark places. Like it goes to places that you would never go with, you know, Spider-Man, actually, or Superman, for that matter. Like, a perfect example is, right off the bat, the reason he has the Superman superpowers is because his father is a superhero that is very popular and very well-known, named Ultraman. And Ultraman is essentially Superman as well. He has the origin of Superman. He came from a different planet, but he wasn't like raised here. He came from another planet as part of like the planet, or his planet's like cultural exchange program or something, where they go to other planets and they protect them and stuff. And he's like, I really like this planet. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to help, you know, help with you guys, because you guys have so many monsters and stuff for some reason. So he takes over, he becomes he becomes like a big popular superhero. He's part of like their version of the Justice League, because of course there's like a version of the Justice League where there's like an Aquaman, where he's literally a fish man. And and there's like a Batman character and a Wonder Woman character and a Green Lantern character and all this stuff. And then his son gets the superpowers too. And then the first story arc builds to the fact that it turns out his father is not there to make the world better for humans. He's there to actually conquer the planet, and he's been biding his time getting the planet ready for takeover. And he's been waiting for his son to become of age and get his superpowers so that the two of them can take over the planet together. And wow. in the process, Ultraman kills a lot of people. And like that entire Justice League, and like that fake Justice League, all of them, they all get killed, like all sorts of stuff. And then from there, it just becomes like him dealing with that, like because the main character, Invincible, his name's Mark. So it's him dealing with that, like, oh, my God, like my father was actually like this tyrant from space. And it turns out, unlike Superman's planet, which blew up and everybody who was like Superman died, there's an entire planet full of Superman level monsters out there who are eventually going to come one by one to this planet and kill, like try to take it over. So he you know, has to fight them off, and then he becomes involved in global intergalactic politics and stuff. So it's kind of gets some Green Lantern stuff in there. That's I've loved that comic for years. And Walking Dead, I was a big fan of. I mean, I'm not a big horror movie guy, but when it came to horror movies, zombies was something that I was always fascinated with. Mm. I actually wrote a zombie comic at one point that almost came out at the same time that Walking Dead came out. I was back in college where I was making a comic, and I came up with the idea for the zombie comic where everyone is useless. Like if every time you, Walking Dead is a perfect example. The main character, Rick Grimes, is a police officer. That's a very useful set of skills to have in a zombie apocalypse. My characters were all like, I worked at a fast food restaurant. I'm a taxi cab driver. Like nobody has a skill that is useful in the world where zombies take over. Nobody's a marksman. You know, nobody has survival skills, and that was the hook for mine, was that all of the characters were essentially useless, and any character could die at any point. In which eventually Walking Dead came out, and I was like, oh shit! Well, he not only did he do my story, but he did it better. Like, you know, so. But anyway, yeah. So the Walking Dead came out, and I was a big fan of that, and I hopped on the board with that, and yeah. So I've loved. I love Robert Kirkman. I've loved. I'm just trying to think of other. A lot of people. I was more an artist than a writer. So mm-hmm. I gravitate a lot more to a lot of the artists versus the writers. There's a lot of books that I would buy specifically because the writer. A perfect example is Ryan Ottoli, who is the artist for almost the entirety of Invincible. A different artist does the first, I think, 15 or so issues, and then Ryan takes over, and I was in love with Ryan's art, and Ryan is currently drawing Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, sweet.
And I want to get into Spider-Man because I know he's drawing it, and I whoever is writing, I'm a fan of whoever is writing, because whoever is writing is clearly knows what they have with Ryan, because they are making him draw characters that he excels at drawing, that kind of character. So I've been looking at the art that he posts on Instagram and Twitter, and I'm like, oh my God, like, why aren't I reading this book? It's one that I definitely want to hop into, but like a perfect example is he posted a thumbnail from the most recent issue. And it is a scene of, I think it's MJ. The art's black and white, so it's hard for me to tell. It's MJ at a Broadway show, and the Broadway show is Fantastic Four, the musical. So there's like there's like Broadway versions of like the Fantastic Four, like singing on stage, and like Galactus is there, and it just looks phenomenal. And it's like, okay, this is the kind of stuff I want to see. And he's been drawing stuff with Venom, and like Ryan Ollie, if one thing he was really good at is drawing grotesque monsters. So him drawing Venom, who's one of my favorite characters, he's always done an amazing Venom. So just to see him doing Venom now is like, okay, now I really should hop on this. I believe they're doing a big story with Carnage right now. So he's drawing Carnage as well. So it's like, oh, these are characters that are tailor-made for his style. So it's something I've been meaning to hop into, but again, it comes down to time. And now that I have a baby who, you know, he's got to eat and go and do things. It's also babies are very expensive as well. So picking and choosing when I'm going to read these things is, you know, it's a struggle, I gotta say. I'm trying to think of who else.
You're talking about the 2018 Amazing Spider-Man series, right?
Yes, this is the one that's currently ongoing right now.
Okay. That would be Nick Spencer on art with Ryan. With Ryan on art. Yep.
Yeah. And they also brought his inker on board too, Cliff Radburn. Or no, Cliff Radburn is. Is that Walking Dead? Anyway, whoever the inker was is also the inker on Invincible, and they work very well together. So their work is phenomenal together. So.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, the way I wrote these questions out: favorite writers and why. Next question: favorite artists and.
Well, there
why.
You go. There you go. I was also going to say I was saying Jim Lee. Yeah. I mean, Jim Lee's X-Men was like my life for a long time. Like, I loved that art. And I mean, obviously, the art of the animated series, they're it's based on his designs. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, the Jim Lee style is what I think of when I think of X-Men, even though, I mean, nowadays he's way more known for Batman. But to me, Jim Lee is X-Men, and he's always X-Men. I'm just trying to think who else sticks out. There's a lot of people. Like, I follow a lot of artists on Instagram and stuff. I'm really bad with names. That's also my greatest weakness, is like, I know people's styles more than I know their actual names. There's a group of guys, they work out of what is called the RAID studio. I believe it stands for like Royal Academy of Illustration and Design or something. Those guys are a collective of artists. They're all Canadian artists, if I remember correctly, or at least the main guys are Canadian. Those guys, their work is all phenomenal. They all work out of a studio together. They do a lot of Marvel stuff. I love that I'm blanking on naming a single one of them. I follow them all on like Twitter and Instagram, but I could not for the life of me, because I'm, again, names were never my forte. It was always like, oh, I recognize this. I recognize, you know, that kind of stuff. I always really liked Mark Begley's work. Again, I said I was a big fan of the Ultimate Spider-Man run. So his work was fantastic. Obviously, if I'm a fan of Ultimate Spider-Man to the point where I read every single issue, and I have almost every single issue, you'd have to say I'm a fan of Bendis as well. The Kubert brothers, both Kuberts. I know Joe was, you know, kind of a big deal, but I was never a big fan of Joe in as much as I was a big fan of his sons, both Adam and Andy. Those guys were both phenomenal. So.
Very cool. Very cool. So, you know, you mentioned earlier about how you're not really, because of time and whatever, about not reading anything or picking up anything.
Yes.
But was there ever another moment in your life before everything that's happened in the last 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, where you were just like, I'm done with comics. I'm okay. I want to focus on video games, or I want to focus on whatever else.
I would say so. I feel like it's around the time that I stopped, like, because I said I was doing the reading less books, right? And I remember, because like I said, I was still reading comics via less than legal means. And that was really where things just kind of ended for me, was I was reading so many books that they just kind of faded out. And then I stopped reading for a long time until I ended up on this library service and I found that they had, you know, all of these back trades and stuff. And then I started, you know, hardcore reading into everything again. So with the exception of The Walking Dead and Invincible during that period of time, and then the occasional like saga trade or something like that, that period, I think that was around 2016, around the time Civil War II happened, I think was when I stopped reading. Just like, it was just like, there's too much going on and I'm just so far behind, and I just let it all go and just, I, you know, I'm like, I got movies to watch. That kind of thing.
Yeah. What is one comic, either a single issue or a collected edition trade, that you can read over and over again? We've kind of already covered this with your Korra mention.
It's true. I mean, at the same time, Invincible. I've reread Invincible a bunch of times. A lot of my boxes, my comic boxes, are just slapdash. Like, everything is in them. You know, like, you won't find, you know, nothing's alphabetical, blah, 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 blah. Invincible and Walking Dead get their own boxes, because I reread those and I reread them quite a bit. So I have those in their own boxes just so that it's easy to access them and read those. So those are some books that I can read over and over again. I'm trying to think of because I have a fair bunch of books in trade as well that I tend to reread a lot. Why the Last Man is a great book that there you go. That's another book. Brian K. Vaughan. That's another writer that I can talk about whose work I really enjoyed. Why the Last Man is a book that I have all of those in trade. And that's a book that I reread a lot. I was a really big fan of the Scott Pilgrim books. Those are, I would read those over and over again. So in trade form, I read those a lot. But yeah, single issues, mostly if it was Ultimate Spider-Man and Walking Dead and Invincible, I would read over and over again. And then trade form, I got all these other books that I'll read.
Are there any comics that you've read in the past or in the present that you wish you hadn't read them? This is a new question, folks. I just came up with this today.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to cause negative light or whatever, but I mean, there are plenty of there have been a few comics in my lifetime that I wish I had not picked it up, and it's nothing major. It's not like Death of Superman or like we've already mentioned, Dark Knight Return. Like none of
right,
that's
right.
Just, like. But, like, you know, you read a comic and by the end of it, you're like, that's kind of off-putting. I wish I hadn't read that.
You know what? There's a couple that spring to mind, but then I think about it and it's like All-Star Batman. All-Star Batman is a train wreck. But at the same time, there are redeeming qualities about All-Star Batman. For example, Jim Lee's art is phenomenal. Also, the writing is such a train wreck, it's entertaining as hell to read. Like, I will say, under no circumstances is All-Star Batman a good comic, but it is drawn phenomenally, and it's so memeable with all of its weird shit in it, like goddamn Batman, and when, like, you know, he calls Robin retarded and stuff. Like, it's just such a weird book, but at the same time, I don't wish that I had never read it. I feel like a lot of the early, mid-2000s X-Men... Because that was stuff that I was collecting, and I remember looking back at that period and being like, I don't remember any of those stories, any of them, you know, like I have them, you know, like I have all of these books. I think it was like they did this whole like relaunch where like Colossus and Nightcrawler came back to the team for the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, this is great. And then I don't remember any of those stories. Couldn't tell you one, you know, like stuff like that.
Wow.
Just it's not so much that I hated it. It's just that it was so mediocre that I just don't, you know, I don't remember it. So it was kind of like I probably could have, you know, done something more constructive with that time.
All right. How big is your comic collection? Like how many boxes do you have of physical stuff?
Too many. That's a good question. I am looking at a rather large IKEA shelf that is filled from top to bottom with trades and manga. To be fair, some of this is my wife's, but most of it is mine. So there's that, and those are just trades and manga. Additionally, I have just here in front of my feet, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 short boxes, and at my parents' house I have I think it's 14 long boxes of comics. Wow. That I keep telling my parents I will come get one day, which I would like to. There are still a lot of great comics in there that are still at my parents' house that I'd love to reread, like Marvel Zombies. My Marvel Zombies collection is all at my parents, and so is most of my Ultimate Spider-Mans, most of my Ultimate X-Mens as well are still at my parents' house, that kind of thing. But yeah, no, I have a lot of comics, and I should probably get rid of a lot of the chuff that I'm probably never going to reread.
Okay, so heaven forbid this ever happen. Mm-hmm. I have to preface this, so just to make sure people that are listening don't really think I wish this on anybody. I don't. Heaven forbid this ever happen, but. Mm-hmm. The house burns down. You yes. and the family are all safe.
Hooray.
Everybody's safe outside. However, what is the one comic you could never part with ever? So basically the question means, if your house was on fire, what comic would you go in and save if you could only save one?
Ooh, good question. Good question. I feel like I would save Walking Dead 19, which is the first Michonne, because it's like the only Walking Dead I have that's actually like worth anything. it's not like I want this book because it's like I can't live without this one issue of with Michonne in it. It's just that that one would be worth money and I could sell it and start rebuilding things. You know, luckily for the most part, when it comes to comics, a lot of my stuff is as much as it's my favorite, a lot of it's replaceable. I don't think I own anything that's so like rare or out of print that I couldn't find another version of it to replace it. If I was unhappy, like, oh no, I lost, you know, my Watchman's gone. Well, I'll just go to the store and pick up another Watchman, you know, that kind of thing. But, well, I don't know. I guess those essential books. I have some really nice old essential Marvel collections. Like I have the old essential X-Men and the old essential Wolverines. And I'm pretty sure that those are long out of print and you just can't get them anymore. And the few that, because I remember the few that I had don't have, like I have like essential X-Men 1 through 8, but I'm missing like 7. And I think 7 is like $70 or something like that. Because the essential collections are so rare now. It's literally just black and white reprints of old X-Men comics, but it would be collections of like 50 issues at a time, right? So I guess they don't want those you know giant collections when they can, you know, sell 15 collections for the same price or for way more money than they would sell an essential collection. But that stuff's all great. Like I've been rereading through those as well. I have a shelf that's outside my bathroom, and on the shelf is like what I'm currently reading, kind of thing. So,
oh my God, he reads comics on the toilet, folks.
Hey, why not? Right?
It's a quick read. Why not? Right? So here you go. What was the most money you ever spent on a comic or a comic item? This doesn't necessarily have to be a single issue or a trade or a collection or anything. It can be like a print, a sketch, an autograph, something like that.
Ooh, good question. Good question. I'm trying to remember. I know I bought an issue of Superman Red Sun for way more than it was worth. Cause there was a time when I would go to cons and I would fill in like gaps in my collections. Like if I had, you know, issue 22 and on of a story, if I could go back and get issue 1 through 22, you know, I would go and do that. And I remember going to a con and buying, it was right after Superman Red Sun came out, and Superman Red Sun at the time was like a super hot book, I remember. And I bought, I think, issue 2 for like 20, no, I think it was like $30. And this is like, the issues were not that expensive when they came out. Like it was not a $30 comic. But I remember buying it for like $30. And then somebody else was selling the entire series for like $25. So I bought like all 3 books for like $25. So I think that's the most I can remember paying for something. Like I've never bought art from anyone, despite the fact that I have, you know, I'm a big fan of, you know, a lot of artists. I feel really weird about going to meet artists and meeting celebrities. Like anytime I've ever been to a con and everyone's like, oh man, I went and I got pictures with Bruce Campbell or something like that, I'm like, have fun. I'm here to look at things to buy. You know, I've never been even if one of my favorite artists is at a con, I don't go and I don't get their, you know, get them to sign my books or anything like that. Like I don't have any signed books or anything like that. Even though I've been at many cons with Jim Lee. I almost got Brian Michael Bendis to sign issue 13 of Ultimate Spider-Man, which is the issue where he tells Mary Jane that he's Spider-Man, and it was my favorite issue of the series. So I was going to get him to sign that, but for whatever reason, at the last second, I'm like, no, didn't do it. So I don't have any like wacky, like I have prints, I've signed prints, but prints are not anywhere near as expensive as original art, right? So,
well, yeah, but I mean, even like I have an original art piece I think I spent maybe $20 or $30 on, but I mean, it's a full color thing, but it's just one little panel.
Well,
one thing
I have that is actually, I would say this as the item, it's not even mine, it's my wife's, but at the same time, it also didn't cost us anything. At least if I remember correctly, it didn't cost us anything. I mean, I might just not have been told how much it costs to shield my to shield me from the cost. But like we mentioned earlier, Laura used to work at a comic shop. And one day for, I think it was either Free Comic Book Day or the store anniversary, they would bring in somebody. They'd bring in an artist. They'd bring in a writer or something like that. And this time they brought in Jeff Lemire. And Jeff Lemire was doing Sweet Tooth at the time. And Sweet Tooth was like one of my wife's favorite stories of all time. And Batwoman was also Laura's favorite ongoing comic at the time. And while he was there, he was giving out sketches and just doing like simple sketches. And Laura was kind of like his liaison. Like she was there to make sure that everything was good for him. Like she brought him drinks and kept checking on him the entire day. And at the end of the day, he asked her like, hey, who's your favorite character kind of a thing? She's like, oh, I love Batwoman. And at the end of the day, he gave her this ink, like this beautiful ink drawing of Batwoman. And it hangs in our living room. And so I would say that would probably be the thing that is worth the most. But at the same time, we paid nothing for it. It was a gift from Jeff Lemire, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, that is very much phenomenal. All right. What are you reading in your bathroom? And what do you think our listeners should check out that you've been reading in your bathroom?
Well, like I said, at the top, I've been rereading Irredeemable. Irredeemable is fantastic. A lot of the books I would recommend, I've actually already talked about on the show. I would recommend Invincible. I would recommend Why the Last Man. If they want to go something a little more current, I was reading Saga. Their most recent Saga has been great. Mm-hmm. I've been reading the Life is Strange comic, which is based on the video game, which is interesting. If anybody knows the Life is Strange games, there's more than one ending to that game. And the book follows a specific ending. And I was very intrigued to read it because it is not the ending that I got. So I was like, how does this book continue? Kind of a thing. And they actually do it in a very good way where it's like it takes both endings. Life is Strange is somewhat about time travel. So how they were able to actually incorporate both endings into the story was very well done. So I got to say I was a big fan of that. It's very true to the characters as they were in the game as well. I'm just trying to think of anything else. Like again, I'm not reading a lot of current stuff, so it's hard for me to recommend. No. I'm just kind of looking at my shelf and being like, what sticks out is really great, you know, that kind of stuff. If you can get your hands on the Essential X-Men collections, it's a great way to get some of the most phenomenal X-Men stories of all time. Days of the Future Past is in there. Dark Phoenix. You know, all of that stuff is in those early issues. So it's all great stuff.
Awesome. All right. So at the top, we talked about Mike Stupid Comics and all the stuff you created and everything else. If you could create any comic storyline, what would it be and what story would you want to tell with those characters? Whatever characters you end up coming up with, or if you want to use, you know, Batman, Superman, whatever.
Right. If I could tell a story using other characters. Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't have a story for that, but I mean, I do have a story that I have wanted to tell for a while. It's the idea that I have. I mean, I can give you the basic gist of it so that nobody runs away with it and is like, this is my original idea. But the idea for the story was I'm a big video game fan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, video games are a fairly important part of my life and it's what I like to do to relax. So I wanted to incorporate something from that into a story. So I came up with this story that is essentially Mortal Kombat. And it's Mortal Kombat if one of the fighters in Mortal Kombat was there by accident. So, I mean, you take the story of Mortal Kombat or the story of Street Fighter, where it's like, oh, I mean, first of all, fighting games up until recently in video games have had no stories whatsoever. It's literally like, oh, there's a tournament. That's the story.
That's the story. Yeah.
And occasionally you get some flash of backstory of like, you know, this dude doesn't like this dude because he hit him once, you know, something like that. Right. So I wanted to do a story that's where it's like, oh, it's a tournament and all of the people that are there are like the greatest fighters in the world. But the main character of the story is just an average person who gets invited to the tournament because they happen to share the same name as like a prominent fighter in one of the disciplines. So they get invited by accident and that person is actually like a pro gamer as well. So they think they're being invited to a pro gaming tournament. And then it turns out it's like an actual like life or death fighting tournament where like the only way to advance through the tournament is to kill your opponent, essentially. So it's just like some like it's this girl and she's like, what is happening? You know? And at first she thinks that, you know, oh, this is just a really cool tournament until she's like, they really went all out on the design. And then like people actually start getting murdered and stuff. And she's like, oh, wait, what is happening? You know? So that's the story that I one day hope to tell. Going back to if I ever get back to comics, but I've been doing designs on and off. I have a Google Doc that's the first like 12 pages written. That, you know, one day I'll get back to it and I'll fill it in more. It's a lot more of a finite ending, you know, where it has a beginning, it has a middle, it has an end. Unlike Mike's Stupid Comics, which just kind of ran for a few years until I was like, well, maybe I should finish it, and I made an ending point. This is something that I had an ending in mind when I started it. And I've actually told it to some people and they're like, that's really, it's a comedy, obviously. Cause it's, you know, like you don't accidentally invite someone to a death tournament and it's played straight. Right. You know? So
yeah, no,
but yeah. So that one day I hope to tell that story and do that. But I mean, if I was to ever actually tell a story myself, I wouldn't even know where to start. I feel like the best character that would work for me is Spider-Man, because all I can do is tell awkward jokes. And I mean, that's all Spider-Man does too. So.
Oh. All right. Last question. What is the one piece of advice that you would give the comic fandom and comic creators in general?
Just have fun with it. Comics are fun. Don't be so serious. I see a lot of people that, you know, are really angry about a lot of things. Like, you know, there's a character that there's a slight change in that character, you know, like I get that change is hard sometimes, but you know, like take it easy. At the end of the day, if they turned the character that you like into, you know, a black girl and you're suddenly not cool with that because it's been a white guy your entire life, just read something else, you know, just.
Oh my God, a Riri Williams reference. Wow. Oh my God.
I feel like since then there's been more than one character that's like that though. But
well, yeah. For a second there, I thought you were going like Little Mermaid, but I'm like, oh wait, no. White guy into, okay, yeah. It's definitely
Iron Honestly, Man. I wasn't even trying to actually reference Ironheart. I was just because all I was thinking about was, for whatever reason, I was thinking of like Hal Jordan as the example of the guy, you know, like, I don't know. It doesn't need to be taken as seriously as some people take it. And
like, see the thing with, like, okay, again, I have been so emotional ever since my buddy Joe, who does the Turtles comics podcasts with me on the show here. Ever since he said, you know, check out IDW Volume 1, read it. When I first read it, I'm like, red bandanas, please. Now, I come from the cartoon where it's each individual. He's like, don't worry about it. It's okay. It works out. I'm like, okay, fine. Read it. I've read it for 5-6 years now. I've read it. We've been covering it for at least 5 years on the show. And there's been a change recently to a human female character that, if you're living under a rock, you probably don't know what's going on. But basically, one of the female former Foot Clan members got turned into a turtle.
Mm.
This is not a spoiler. The news has been everywhere, folks. So it's okay. She got turned into a turtle because she almost died. And Leo's mutant blood saved her, but she got turned into a turtle. Everybody's like, oh my God, it's Venus de Milo. It's Turtle's the next mutation all over again. No, it's not. And I'm like, I'm on that side of the fence of, I have to defend this change because I don't know what they're going to do, but I know because I've interviewed Tom Waltz once. I've interviewed Bobby Kurnow twice. I've talked to these guys, these creators, and I'm like, whatever they're going to do, they have a reason for doing it. They're not this isn't the 90s anymore. This isn't just, oh, we need to put in a female turtle because we need to be PC, or we need to force this on people so they accept female Ninja Turtles or what. It isn't that at all. And it's like, oh my God. And it's like, some of these people. But yeah, you're right. Just have fun with it. Read what you want to read. You know, attach yourself to the characters that you think you want to, you know. Doesn't necessarily have to be Marvel, DC, IDW, Dynamite, Boom Studios, Dark Horse, Image, whatever. We've covered a lot of stuff on this show. And we will continue to cover a lot of stuff on this show. Where can the people find you online, sir?
Currently, you can find me. I'm usually myself on most social platforms. So you can find me on Twitter at Mike Laidman. And you can find me on Instagram at Mike Laidman. But you can also find me doing a podcast called Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads at parttimenerdsfulltimedads.com. And you can find us on the seldom ignored Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads Twitter account at PT Nerds FT Dads, as well as the Facebook page, which is also /PT Nerds FT Dads. We just felt that was just too much typing in those cases. But
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we have new episodes every Thursday. So
awesome. Yep, and I will put the links in the show notes and all that stuff, so you find people can go check out what Mike's doing. You can go check out what he's tweeting about or Instagramming about or whatever. I'm at TFG and Mike on Twitter. You can follow at The Pullbag, at Geekcast Radio, at This Week in Geek, for the respective network Twitters. Facebook, same thing, facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network, This Week in Geek, The Pullbag. Coming up, we've got for the end of July, we've got episode 361 and 362. 361 is Batman TMNT 2 with Joe Reed and myself, and then the next TMNT arc, Kingdom of Rats, with Joe Reed and myself. And then we kick off Autobotly August 2019 with episode 363, which is continuing on with the Transformers Spotlights from IDW, Blaster, RC, Mirage, Grimlock, and Wheelie. Make your great escape in the comics, and we will catch you next time here inside the pull bag.
Ta-ta.
Okay, ta-ta. Later, everybody.
Because I'm probably definitely going to use that in the intro, so... Hello, everyone, and welcome to Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads. I'm Mike Laidman.
And I'm Chris Blonsky.
And we're two dads who also happen to be nerds. We certainly aren't experts, but we are...
Sorry, go ahead.
I could have saved it in editing, with that gap, but you ruined it.
I did.
We certainly aren't experts, but we are open to fuck.
Just start from the top, man.
You've ruined it. You've ruined it. Hey, everybody, and welcome out to... Oh, I did it again. That's what I did last week.
Welcome out to barbecue round two.
Welcome out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads. I'm Mike Laidman.
And I'm Chris Blonsky.
And we're two dads who also happen to be nerds. We certainly aren't experts, but we are open to shit.
Mike, this is the 26th episode, man. This should just be rolling off the tongue at this point.
I'm centering myself.
Yes, focus. Focus.
Okay. I'm not doing the whole damn thing again. We certainly aren't experts, but we are open to sharing our experiences with other nerdy dads out there in the interest of keeping our kids alive. How are you, sir?
Good, Mike. My stopwatch for this show is completely ruined, though, with all those false starts and stuff that we had.
I'm going to blame it on daylight savings time, because today is the first day, the day we're recording, after daylight savings time has taken effect. That's losing an hour of sleep. I'm a tired boy.
Lousy luck.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The Geico Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call Geico and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance. Your home is important. That's why Geico helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The Geico Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call Geico and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.